This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX, now playing, and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Hi, let's talk about Pro Plan Sport. Pro Plan Sport is advanced nutrition made to fuel strength and stamina in active dogs like yours. So wherever your next journey together takes you, start it off right with the high-performance fuel your dog needs to keep pushing you every step of the way. Pro Plan Sport. Learn more at ProPlanSport.com. Feeling like you need a punch of energy? Enter Wonderful Pistachios. I love them. The snack that packs a protein punch. And the best part, they come in so many flavors and so many sizes. Whether you're on the go or chilling at home, Wonderful Pistachios, they're the go-to snack for me. Here's the real kicker, the protein. These little wonders are one of the highest protein nuts out there. Just 1 ounce serves up a whopping 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. So visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. I love them.
Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for The Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of The Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Welcome to The Herd. Joy Taylor in for Colin Cowherd all week, next week and today, as he is enjoying his Caribbean vacation. I know he was having some travel issues earlier in the week, so hopefully everything is going smoothly for him and his family as he was off on vacation, much deserved. We have a really fun show today, a lot going on today. The NBA draft was last night. I'm joined by Ryan Musick. Alex Curry is also on vacation still across the ponds. She is still in Italy, so thanks for hanging with me today, Ryan.
It's great to be the last two standing here on the stage.
I know. It feels very empty out here, I'm not going to lie. I very much feel on an island because Alex is usually much closer and you're on the other side. You know, it's like it's social distancing. We're still doing that here in California, amongst other things, as the rest of the country reels this morning, but we won't get into that. We have a very loaded show today. Joel Klatt will join us at the bottom of the hour. Big news in college football this week with Arch Manning committing to Texas. We'll ask him about that. And of course, he is also a USFL analyst as the playoffs start this weekend. So we'll talk to Joel Klatt. Mary Kay Cabot, Browns beat writer, Cleveland.com. I love talking to Mary Kay, and there is a lot going on in Cleveland with Baker and the Deshaun Watson situation, which continues to develop, feels like every day. John Hollinger, senior NBA columnist for The Athletic. We'll discuss the NBA draft with him, get his thoughts on some of those picks. And Chandler Jones will be in studio with us, Raiders defensive end. He is playing in one of the most interesting and tough divisions, I think probably the toughest division in football this year. I think that division is going to come down to health, really. So we'll talk to him here in studio, which is always very exciting. So loaded show today. Thank you so much for hanging out with us and joining us on this beautiful Friday. The NBA draft was last night, and in general, there wasn't a whole lot of drama leading into the draft. It didn't seem like there was going to be any kind of drastic moves. It was kind of consensus that just Jabari Smith was going to be the first pick. And then here comes Paolo, which I loved. I loved Paolo's suit, and I love that he was the number one overall pick. It just was a little strange considering that Orlando had the number one overall pick, and it seems like all the reports were set, and they throw us a curveball. They didn't even meet with Paolo. They didn't even work him out. they didn't even talk to him until Monday. So it was a bit of a surprise. I don't know if I can go as far as drama, because he is a big body, very talented, from Blue Blood, led Duke in scoring. So it's not like it is an outrageous off-the-board pick, but it did come a bit out of left field, especially considering Orlando has the number one pick. You don't need to smokescreen anybody. Nobody's jumping you in the draft, so you really don't have to keep it a secret. And generally, the number one overall pick in the drafts, particularly with the NBA, is pretty known. It's pretty understood who is going to go number one. And this draft was a bit unique in that way, in that we didn't really have someone that everyone felt very strongly about. It just seemed that the reports were consistent. But I really like this pick for Orlando. They have a lot of young, nice pieces. As I mentioned, he is a huge body, 6'10", 250 pounds, plays with a lot of power. I think he's going to fit into what they're doing and building in Orlando perfectly. I'm excited for this move, and I'm excited for the way that the rest of the draft went as well. So the most debated or discussed player in this draft was Chet Holmgren, and that is because of his very unique body type. And we've been seeing, well, I've been seeing, because I'm a nerd who watches grassroots basketball on YouTube, but for those of you that also do that, we've been seeing highlights of Chet for a long time, and obviously he played at another Blue Blood in Gonzaga. His unique body type and skill kind of drew some questions, and this is why he wasn't the number one overall pick. It sort of felt like he needs a little bit more development in his body. So where he goes is really going to matter. I love that he went to OKC. Colin and I talked about this a lot yesterday, but he's not only going to a place that has a great draft record, but it's also a place he can sort of hide. If he doesn't perform well in his first year, if he struggles or stumbles a little bit, that's fine in OKC. He's not under pressure to go in there and transform the franchise overnight, even if he is the number two pick in the draft. He's able, they're patient, they're not demanding. And with his particular body type, we all assuming that he needs to put on more weight to compete at the NBA level, this is a perfect place for him. I love that he ended up going there. We discussed it a lot this week. I thought it was the perfect place for him to end up, so I love that he did end up going there. And when you look at really what OKC is doing, this is just a perfect swing for OKC to take. Now, I don't think it's an outrageous pick, anyone that took Chet Holmgren. I just think it's better for him as a player, as a young player who obviously, you know, needs to put on a little weight on the NBA level to go somewhere where that's not going to be demanded of him right away. But not only does OKC have 16 first round picks over the next five drafts, they have a long history of drafting really great players. So that's not even in question. I love their draft last night. We're showing it here. Jalen Williams of Santa Clara, Jalen Williams of Arkansas, Ousmane Dieng of France, and obviously Chet Holmgren. And as I mentioned, they have 16 first-round picks over the next five drafts. So they're going to be developing for a while, and that's the perfect place for Chet to end up. Now, the last takeaway I have from the draft last night is that, of course, there's always a lot of panic, particularly when it comes to college sports. Anytime there's a change, everyone freaks out. Everyone freaked out about the one-and-done rule. Everyone's currently freaking out about NIL. And I think what you noticed, well, I noticed in the draft last night, was there were a lot of blue bloods drafted last night. A lot of college traditional powerhouses. You got Duke, you got Arizona, you got Kentucky, you got Baylor, you got Kansas, you got UCLA. There were two G League players drafted in the first rounds. Few international players. 26 of the 30 first round players were college basketball players. There was so much discussion about all these players going overseas, all these top players going overseas, all these top players going to G League. The college basketball scene is going to be ruined. The sport is going to die. There's always this overreaction to everything. Everything's going to be fine. And when I looked at the balance of what happened last night, my other takeaway was NIL is going to help college basketball. The big argument for G League and for going to play internationally was money, because everyone's money situation is not the same. Yes, it's nice to go to college and get a bit of an education and get that experience and then go on to the NBA, but not everyone can just avoid not making money for a year. So having the option of the G League and going international is important. You should have that option. And now with NIL, you can go to one of these massive schools and make the money or more money that you would make in G League or playing internationally and stay here in the States. So I think it's great. I think overall, The college basketball season this year was a massive success. The ratings were up for college basketball this year, 13%. The blue bloods still reign. The NBA playoff ratings were up, and I thought this was a really nice night for the NBA. That being said, I think I said it was my final takeaway, but this is actually my final takeaway. I think the NBA draft should move around a little bit. I love what the NFL draft has done, going to different cities and making it a fan experience. It's been in New York forever. I understand New York, it's the mecca of basketball, but I think it'd be cool to see the NBA draft move around. I think it'd be cool to be in Seattle, a huge basketball city that obviously doesn't have a men's basketball team. It'd be awesome to see it there. Somewhere like Chicago, Memphis. I'll give you my list later on in the show of where I think they should move it around to, but I think that they should look into that. I don't know if I'm the first person to suggest this. I doubt I am, but I think it would be cool for them to adopt what the NFL has done with the NBA draft and move it around to different cities and make it a thing. Transitioning to Kyrie Irving. This has been a story for quite some time, and it's getting messier by the second in Brooklyn. I think at this point, Kyrie Irving's NBA story has been written. I consider him an all-time great finisher at the rim. Obviously, he's an unbelievable scorer. He has handles that we rave about. But he's also blown up every place he's been since he was with LeBron James. And I was very supportive of him, actually, when he was in Boston, because I never bought into the whole idea of Brad Stevens' unbelievable system. It's just a system. He can't fit into the system. All right. Well, we've seen that Brad Stevens' system didn't just work for Kyrie. Ime Udoka took them to the NBA Finals. It was obviously not just Kyrie that he wasn't resonating with. And that's not a knock on Brad Stevens' basketball mind. Obviously, they moved him to the front office and he's doing a great job. But it's now become very obvious that this is what Kyrie does. I just don't think you can win a championship with Kyrie as your one or two. He's not a number one. He showed that in Cleveland and in Boston. And he's not a reliable two. He's showing that in Brooklyn. He turned his back on LeBron, and now it looks like he's turning his back on KD. Now, I don't really know what is going on in Brooklyn. Whatever report you choose to follow, because there's so many of them, whatever direction, good luck. I can't make anything of it. One minute it's Kyrie and KD are fighting. The next minute, KD is going to leave. If Kyrie doesn't stay, Kyrie wants to stay. Now he has options that he would like to go to. Who knows what's going on behind the scenes in Brooklyn? And the fact that it's chaos is not surprising to me at all. Now, Adrian Wojnarowski did tweet about some of the locations that Kyrie would be open to if he did end up leaving Brooklyn. He said, if Kyrie can't reach an agreement to stay in Brooklyn, he has a list of teams he'd like them to consider on sign and trades, including the Lakers, Clippers, Knicks, Heat, Mavs, and Sixers. None of those teams have cap space to sign him without the Nets' help. So this would be an elaborate trade if it does end up happening. It seems as if there is quite a bit of a drip towards that inevitable fate. When you look at the way the season ended in Brooklyn, they're the only team that got swept in the playoffs. They went into the season as one of the favorites to win the championship. That's quite a swing. The only swing worse was the Lakers, who missed the playoffs entirely. So he straight up didn't play in all but 29 games in the regular season and 4 postseason games. I just don't think that Kyrie can be your one or two on a championship team. That's not to say that he won't win another championship. That's not to say that he won't still contribute. We know what he can do when he's on the floor. Now, granted, take in mind that he only played in 29 games this season, so he was quite fresh when he was putting on those performances, which will likely not be the case wherever he goes next. But then, of course, you have to consider that maybe it will, because Kyrie is perfectly fine not only leaving millions of dollars on the table, but being completely unreliable. I don't have a problem with Kyrie as an individual. He is obviously a guy that does his own thing. He has done amazing things for the community. When we're talking about basketball and building a championship team, the evidence most recently and over the past few years is that you cannot put him in a position where you can rely on him to be available, to be consistent, and to contribute to a winning championship level team. So I don't know what's going to happen in Brooklyn. I don't know how any of these teams getting involved can feel comfortable about making a massive move for Kyrie. He's talked about retiring. Obviously, he chose to not play for most of the season last year. There's a lot up in the air. I just think any of these teams that makes a move for him, or Brooklyn if they decide to work this out, really have to consider who else they're putting around Kyrie if they're truly going to make a run at a championship.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Hi, it's The Herd. The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. It's easy, 90 seconds. Use the code HERD, H-E-R-D. That's code HERD for new customers to get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball. All for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
This is Jeff T from the Club 520 podcast. You'll know when you get it. It'll say eBay, authenticity, guarantee. You'll feel it because when it comes to your feet, eBay has your back. Maybe it's that head-turning pair for hooping or a hot new collab. Whatever you're after, when you cop on eBay, you can trust that your kicks will be checked by experts, not just any expert. Sneaker experts who live and breathe the culture. Real people with real hands-on authentication experience. That's when blue checkmark represents on our listing. eBay authenticity guarantee, meaning every inch, stitch, sole, logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. So when you finally step into those grill kicks, you'll realize the feeling is unlike any other. And with eBay authenticity guarantee, the feeling of real is always within reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Thank you to our friends at Panini America, the official trading cards and NFTs of the 2024 Colin Cowherd Show. Panini America delivers a premier collecting experience with the most sought-after NFL, NBA, FIFA, and WNBA trading cards. Whether you're chasing rookie sensations or collecting timeless legends, Panini's got it. Panini America is also breaking new ground in NIL, featuring some of the biggest names in college sports. And now newly minted first-round picks like number one overall Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, J.J. McCarthy, Michael Penix Jr., and more. If you're into cutting-edge digital collectibles, don't miss Panini's NFT platform at nft.paniniamerica.net with some of their first opportunities to collect this year's rookie class. Whether you're a collector of physical cards or a digital enthusiast, Panini has you covered. Check out their most popular brands like Prism, Select, Donruss, and more, including Panini Instant Cards, celebrating the biggest sports moments on cards right after they happen, such as Draft Night Instants. Visit PaniniAmerica.net or download the Panini Direct app today. Panini America, the official trading cards and NFTs of the Colin Cowherd Show.
The Lakers have been mentioned with Kyrie Irving as a possible destination for Kyrie. There's been lots of trades thrown out there. Anthony Davis, Russell Westbrook for Kyrie and Ben Simmons. And there's all kinds of things floating around. It's madness. Multi-universe of madness. Is that what it's called? I think that's what it's called, right? Did I nail that? Yeah, I'm nerding out right now. Anyway, if the Lakers are going to convince anyone that they are finally moving in a new direction, I really don't know how Kyrie fits into that narrative. If they are concerned about the future, if they are redirecting from the chaos that was Russell Westbrook last year, I don't know how Kyrie fixes any of that. Is Kyrie a better player than Russell Westbrook? Of course. Of course. We know that. Of course. That's not up for conversation. Is Kyrie going to be available? Who knows? I don't even know if Kyrie knows that. Now, he's talked about being a different person than what he was when he was playing with LeBron before. Obviously, we know what LeBron and Kyrie are capable of. Championship. We saw it. But that was 6 years ago. LeBron is a different player now. Kyrie is a different person now. there's a lot that I have questions about how it's just going to fit a plug and play situation. Now, hypothetically, if it was Anthony Davis, LeBron, and Kyrie, potentially that works. I could buy into that a little bit, but it's still the consistency factor for me. Anthony Davis plays in about 40 games a year. He's constantly injured. LeBron is now a year older, now coming off of an unbelievable season, and he is not somebody who I am, you know, in the business of doubting, but he can't play all the time. He can't carry a team all the time. So adding Kyrie to this, while his on-the-court contributions would be tremendous, you can't just talk about Kyrie in one dimension. You can't just talk about him as a player and how he plugs into a roster. There's a lot more that comes with Kyrie. What are you giving up to make this move? So in general, while it might make sense when you're envisioning how how they will look on the court, but you have to look at the whole scope of things, especially when you're talking about the Los Angeles Lakers. If Kyrie was going to a stable organization with an established culture and a coach that was without question and stars that we know what they can do and contribute, and there's a system and role players, maybe that's a situation I could see Kyrie thriving in. But the Lakers are starting over with a new head coach who wants to establish a certain type of culture there. LeBron James is now a year older. Anthony Davis, still completely unreliable. I just don't know how Kyrie fits into the narrative of we're going in a different direction. It feels like a Band-Aid that isn't really super sticky. So if it gets a little windy, it might just fly off. And now the wound is open again. So on the court, when I envision it, it works. But that is assuming that all of them are healthy. And we already saw how that went this year with the Lakers.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
So Baker Mayfield is still in Cleveland. So I guess technically he's employed. But he's not going to be playing quarterback for Cleveland this year. I think he's a bridge quarterback at this point. That might be a stretch considering that he really only has two suitors in Seattle and Carolina, two rumored suitors. And those teams are going through camps. And Seattle has kind of slid into the most interested spot. Last week it was Carolina. Both would probably like Baker Mayfield, but they don't want to pay for Baker Mayfield. In the end, the market tells you what you are. There are certain circumstances where you get a bad break, right? You're down on your luck. Someone has slandered you. You had a bad situation with a coach, or there's something going on where the market doesn't really understand your value and you go to a situation and thrive. Sometimes that happens. And then sometimes you're on every other TV commercial. You have a Super Bowl level roster coach of the year and you end up essentially unemployed, which is the situation that Baker's in. So he created this situation for himself. He did not have a bad break. You can't have the situation that Baker had overall and consider it a bad break. I, like the rest of the market, just don't think Baker is that good. And when you have to consider everything else that comes with Baker, it doesn't really seem that it's worth it. Carolina and Seattle, the only two teams that have been linked to him, agree with that. That's why they don't want to pay for him. Seattle has Drew Locke. Carolina has Sam Darnold. Do I think that Baker is on the field better than both of them? A little bit, but they're not even willing to pay the guaranteed money, the $18 million, which is a steal for a franchise quarterback at this point. So the market tells you what you are. And when you look at the entirety of Baker Mayfield's career in Cleveland, he had one good year. We know the year that it was. They went to the playoffs. They beat the Steelers in the playoff game, which is nice. It was a nice year. He had an almost perfect roster around him, coach of the year. But if you look at everything else that's happened around Baker Mayfield, and this is a significant body of work to evaluate, it's been bad. You can talk about his rookie year. They were still bad. They were not a good team. So what you do know is that Baker cannot elevate a dysfunctional situation or an average roster. We know that. We can see that. We watched it. Carson Wentz is getting a third opportunity at a higher price point. Baker can't end up on another team yet. You can't create that much chaos for yourself in an already chaotic situation and then expect people to react to your talent alone. So it was cute for about 2 weeks, and then it became ridiculous to anyone who doesn't eat the lint out of their belly button. This situation was off the rails very early. I've sold my Baker stock and my Brown stock entirely a while ago, and I feel great about it. It is not an ascending stock. I don't know where Baker's going to end up, but I do know that the people are going to do everything that they can to pay as little as they can for him. And no matter where he goes, he's not going to end up at a great organization because they wouldn't be in this situation to begin with. Can't elevate a bad roster, and that's probably where he's going to end up.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables. Ooh, yum. And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This is Jeff T from the Club 520 podcast. You'll know when you get it. It'll say eBay, authenticity, guarantee. You'll feel it because when it comes to your feet, eBay has your back. Maybe it's that head-turning pair for hooping or a hot new collab. Whatever you're after, when you cop on eBay, you can trust that your kicks will be checked by experts, not just any expert. Sneaker experts who live and breathe the culture. Real people with real hands-on authentication experience. That's when Blue Checkmark represents on our listing. eBay Authenticity Guarantee, meaning every inch, stitch, sole, logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. So when you finally step into those grill kicks, you'll realize the feeling is unlike any other. And with eBay Authenticity Guarantee, the feeling of real is always within reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Hi, it's the Herd. The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Teams are knocking on the door of the conference finals, and DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered every step of the way with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Don't miss out. As the NBA postseason winds down, it's fantastic. Super easy to get started with DraftKings. If you're a first-timer, really easy. Try betting on something like a team to win. Go to DraftKings Sportsbook's app, select your team, and place your first bet. It's that simple, really. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. It's easy, 90 seconds. Use the code HERD, H-E-R-D. That's code HERD for new customers to get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings, the crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Thank you to our friends at Panini America, the official trading cards and NFTs of the 2024 Colin Cowherd Show. Panini America delivers a premier collecting experience with the most sought-after NFL, NBA, FIFA, and WNBA trading cards. Whether you're chasing rookie sensations or collecting timeless legends, Panini's got it. Panini America is also breaking new ground in NIL, featuring some of the biggest names in college sports. And now newly minted first-round picks like number one overall Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, J.J. McCarthy, Michael Penix Jr., and more. If you're into cutting-edge digital collectibles, don't miss Panini's NFT platform at nft.paniniamerica.net with some of their first opportunities to collect this year's rookie class. Whether you're a collector of physical cards or a digital enthusiast, Panini has you covered. Check out their most popular brands like Prism, Select, Donruss, and more, including Panini Instant Cards, celebrating the biggest sports moments on cards right after they happen, such as Draft Night Instance. Visit PaniniAmerica.net or download the Panini Direct app today. Panini America, the official trading cards and NFTs of the Colin Cowherd Show.
Another big situation in the NBA that is developing right now is Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, the Brooklyn Nets. What is Kyrie going to do? They are at an impasse with his contract extension, and it is looking like Kyrie may not be with Brooklyn very soon. He has a few days to decide what he's going to do with his option. But there's a lot of layers to the situation. Depending on which storyline you want to follow, Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving are not getting along anymore, which would be understandable since Kyrie only chose to play in 29 games during the regular season this year and 4 playoff games when they got swept in the first round after being favored to win the championship. You could follow the line of reporting that says that Kevin Durant could be leaving if Kyrie ends up leaving. I very much believe that is a possibility. He is also not recruiting players, so perhaps he is tired of the circus that Brooklyn has become. Maybe he wants Brooklyn to be aggressive, the front office and the ownership, and he doesn't want to take care of it. There's a lot going on. His future is really the biggest question. We heard a report from Shams Charania of The Athletic. I believe we have this tweet here of what's going to happen with his future. This is, from Stadium. Kyrie Irving, it appears, is going to find a new home, and Kevin Durant has 4 years left on his contract. His future is very much right now in the air. That is from Shams Charania on the current situation with the Nets, Kyrie, and KD. I do think it's in the air with KD if Kyrie leaves. I think it's in the air with KD if Kyrie stays, because when I think of Kevin Durant, I don't think of him with a specific team. I don't imagine he's going to finish his career with the Brooklyn Nets. It's just where he's playing right now. And I have no problem with the way that he has handled his career. He's gone where it suited him best for what he wanted at that particular moment. He's a champion. He's a two-time champion, finals MVP, two-time finals MVP, a league MVP, one of the greatest players that we've ever seen play the game. It's not going to change my opinion if he leaves Brooklyn. Quite frankly, if I was KD, I probably would leave Brooklyn. I know he likes living in New York. He seems to like the owner there. It's probably a good situation for him personally, but if he's going to win championships, I don't know if he can do it in Brooklyn. But the other takeaway from what's going on with Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving to me is that everyone freaking out about these super teams was kind of silly. Once again, the outrage machine could probably dial it back a few notches when it comes to this stuff. There are things you can be outraged and freak out about. Super teams in the NBA, seems like we maybe have overreacted to that one. If you look at the teams that won, particularly this year and over the past few years, they were built on culture, drafting, coaching, development, deep rosters, shrewd free agency moves, consistent excellence or consistent growth year after year. And those are the teams that are having massive success lately. The idea that you're just going to throw a bunch of stars together and it's just going to automatically work, I think has been debunked as of right now. You look at the two teams that sort of made those moves, and the Nets and the Sixers this year, it didn't end very well for them. Teams that were patient, that developed over time, that didn't panic when things didn't go their way, that made slight adjustments or aggressive moves but in the right situations, ended up in the finals. Golden State, Celtics, the Miami Heat, the Mavs, like those are teams that are building over time, growing, developing, keeping players, keeping coaches, establishing cultures. What happened with the Nets was fun. It was exciting. I'm sad we didn't get to see that lightning in a bottle fully play out, but it seems like it is all falling apart, and it's not terribly surprising. We've moved past the era of just putting a bunch of stars together. It's very obvious that success in a team league is not just contingent on that. We know you need high-level talent, but you need more than just that. So maybe we just dial it back on the, oh, everybody just leaves and goes wherever they want and these stars and all. That's not what's winning. Is it interesting? Are we going to talk about it? Yes. Is it drama? Yes. Is there tea? Yes. Is it going to result in winning championships? Probably not, because the evidence as of recent has shown that it has absolutely nothing to do with that.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Kyrie Irving and KD are the big topic of conversation around the NBA right now. What is Kyrie going to do? Where is he going to end up? He did... Well, there was a report about a list of teams that Kyrie might be interested in doing a sign-and-trade to if things don't work out with Brooklyn. This is from Woj. If Kyrie Irving can't reach an agreement to stay in Brooklyn, he has a list of teams he'd like them to consider on sign-in trades, including the Lakers, Clippers, Knicks, Heat, Mavs, and Sixers. None of those teams have cap space to sign him without the Nets' help. Of course, there is also the other side of this equation, that is Kevin Durant, and what does he decide to do if everything falls apart with Kyrie? But that list of teams is very interesting. Obviously, my team is on that list, and I had some thoughts about that as well. But I thought I would rank them as far as the best situations for Kyrie if he does end up leaving the Nets. So let's start with the Clippers. I think that this is actually could make some sense. Now, this is also contingent on the roster essentially stays the same that it is now, and you consider what Kyrie is on the court as well as off the court. So let's not just isolate what Kyrie brings to the basketball court. You have to consider his availability. He chose to play in 29 games this season and 4 postseason games. Well, of course, they got swept, the only team to be swept in this year's playoffs. I think that he could bring an element of offense to the Clippers. They have a pretty good defensive team. I think Kawhi Leonard and Paul George are the 1 and 2 there, so you don't need to rely on Kyrie night in and night out. The one question I do have about this Clippers team, if they were to add a Kyrie, is who's leading this team? Who's having the tough conversations? Who's the heart and soul of this organization if Kyrie ends up going there? Because we know Kawhi is not very vocal. Paul George has not really done a tremendous job in that space, which is not a knock. Everybody's not that kind of vocal alpha leader that you need to win a championship. So I don't know. That I have questions about that. Maybe that comes from the coaching, but then also you have to consider the coach who Kyrie already left once. Now, the Lakers. The Lakers, that drumbeat is getting louder. There's another report out today that it's a very significant conversation. Him joining the Lakers, as I said earlier, I don't know how Kyrie to the Lakers changes the narrative that the Lakers are putting out right now, that they're going in a different, more aggressive direction. Now, if it's LeBron, Anthony Davis, and Kyrie, I think that could work. Of course, that also depends on Anthony Davis being healthy, which we really haven't seen with the Lakers at all. LeBron, I don't question, but he is another year older. Again, when you consider these moves, people are assuming that everyone is healthy and is going to be on the floor. I don't believe that happens, so I have to take all this with a grain of salt. But if I'm being optimistic and Kyrie's going to be there and he's going to play and he's going to play all season long and Anthony Davis is going to be healthy and LeBron's going to contribute the way that he always does, then yeah, I think that's a great move on paper. On paper, it usually doesn't play out the same way on the court, but I would have the Lakers at 2. The Mavs are interesting as well. Again, he does nothing for the defensive issues that the Mavs have. They really struggled on the defensive end. Luka's not going to play any defense. That is going to obviously elevate their offense to another level, so maybe they can just outscore everybody. But they have a good developing culture there, good coaching. Luka is obviously the star, so there's not going to be the dependability on Kyrie that you're going to have at some other organizations. So I think that could work. Now, I have the Heat at 4. I really don't think this is a good fit at all. But here's the argument I would make for the Heat. And Heat fans, please don't freak out. If you keep the current core, all right, we're talking about getting rid of role players here to bring in Kyrie. So if you keep Jimmy and you keep Bam and you add Kyrie, that actually solves the scoring issues, the offensive issues that you had with Bam. You don't lose any defense. Obviously, Bam is an incredibly great defensive player, but he struggled in the postseason being a consistent scorer. So Kyrie solves that. The other argument I would make is he's not going to go in here and just mess things up. Pat Riley ain't having it. Spoelstra ain't going nowhere. He ain't having it. Jimmy Butler certainly isn't having it. There is an established energy and culture in standard in Miami for how you're going to handle on the courts and being available to your teammates. That's why I think it might could work because of that, because he's walking into a stable situation. I don't think Pat Riley's going to do that, but it would at least solve the scoring issue. Then you have the Sixers. I think that's a disaster. I mean, James Harden's there. What is getting to James Harden? That's the whole reason why James Harden is there, to get away from Kyrie. So I don't understand how that's they're even on the list. I guess they're just a team that makes big swings. So you have that, and then the Knicks. I don't see the Knicks as an option. I mean, the Knicks have been trying to get back to relevancy for forever. They have some young pieces. I don't think that the Knicks are a good option here, which is why I have them at 6. But those are the spots that were reported, and that's my order. Miami Heat fans, please don't freak out. And again, this is all based off of keeping the core star players in place, because as I said, Kyrie is no longer a two. He was never a number one, and he's got to go to a situation where he doesn't have to be relied on to contribute every single night, because that is what he has given us for the past few years.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
The NBA draft was last night. Not too dramatic, but it did have a little spice to it. Let's go out to John Hollinger, senior NBA columnist, The Athletic, former Memphis Grizzlies VP of basketball ops. Thank you, John, for joining us. Really appreciate you making time for us today. It was a little bit of a surprise, Paolo at number one, right? There was kind of consensus that it was not going to be the case. It was going to be Jabari. So what happened there?
Yeah, it was interesting. Orlando kept their cards really close to the vest. And you would think, well, why do they need to do that? It's not like anybody's going to jump ahead of them in the draft. But I think what they were trying to do was tease out what Oklahoma City and Orlando and Houston, excuse me, want to do right behind them, and see if there was an opportunity to make a trade and still get their guy at two or three. They figured out that especially Houston was all in on Banchero at three, they realized that if they wanted him, they needed to take him at one. If they traded down, they weren't going to be able to get him. So that's why it took so long to get to this point.
Well, there really wasn't a guy that we knew was going to be the number one overall pick. Some, especially NBA drafts, we know weeks ahead of time, like, this guy is number one. Like, no one's going to skip on LeBron James, you know. But what does Paolo bring that is number one overall pick worthy?
Sure. Offensively, he's really talented. He's, for a player of his size, to be able to put the ball on the floor the way he does, pass the way he does. He's a pretty decent outside shooter now. That can still get better. It often does with young players. He just has a lot of skill to him for his size, and I think that's going to be make him a tough cover at the NBA level. If I was going to compare him to like an active NBA player, it's like a Carmelo Anthony style of game. He does it a little differently. There's a little, like, not quite as physical about it as Carmelo is, but that kind of combination of size and skill set at the four position is really hard to guard.
So Chet was probably the most discussed player going into this draft because of his very unique body type. When I look at players like that, I kind of try and envision them as bigger. You know, these guys are so young, and men that, you know, they develop and they put on so much weight, and some even grow, you know, late to their early 20s. So you can imagine that he is going to put on weight, but does he have the body type to put on significant weight? Does he need to? And do you like him going to OKC? Because I do. I think he can sort of hide there a little bit as he develops.
Well, I think he fits there as a rim protector, as the defensive linchpin of the team. I mean, he's going to be a great shot blocker in the league. As far as his body, it's interesting because he's got such a narrow frame that I don't know how much it'll fill out. And I think that's going to affect him more offensively than defensively, actually, where it's just really hard for him to establish post position because, you know, smaller players can wedge under him and just use their bodies and just push him out. But the advantage of him being so skinny, actually, is with these super tall players, a lot of times as their careers go on, the injuries to the feet, the knee, the ankles, that's really the limitation on the length of their careers a lot of times. And because he's putting less stress on those lower appendages because he just isn't carrying much weight, I think that does actually give him an out for greater longevity. So that's the counterpoint to that I think not enough people talk about.
Yeah, I actually hadn't heard or thought of that. I think the injuries was more in regards to how thin he was. But you're right. He's not putting on all that weight constantly on his lower extremities.
Yeah. You look at him and you think somebody will just break him in half. But like, broken bones aren't really as big an injury risk in the NBA as they are in, say, the NFL. So I'm not sure how much teams should worry about that.
Yeah. So who was the steal in the draft last night, or who do you think had the best draft last night?
Well, I think Detroit had the best draft, getting Jaden Ivey at 5 and then coming back and getting Jalen Duren at 12. They really put themselves in position around Cade Cunningham to now you could have another really electric shot-creating guard and then a rim-running center next to them. They didn't have to trade up to get Ivy, who a lot of people had ranked as the fourth best player, or even better. And then Duren, I think, was a guy a lot of people thought might go in the top 10, and he slid a little bit, and so Detroit pounced. I thought they had a really good night.
We're talking to John Hollinger of The Athletic, Joy Taylor in for Colin Cowherd today. So Kyrie and KD, the saga is getting very explosive. I don't really know what's going on in Brooklyn. As of right now, what is your feeling on what that team looks like at the start of next season?
I would still bet on KD and Kyrie being back there with Ben Simmons at the start of next season. I think a lot of what we're seeing right now is a leverage play to get Kyrie the contract that the Nets aren't quite willing to offer him yet. I think the Nets have more of a prove it to me mentality with Kyrie Irving after the last 2 years, and justifiably so. But at the end of the day, I do think both sides need each other. There isn't another team out there who's going to pay Kyrie Irving right now. And there isn't a way for the Nets to replace Kyrie Irving because they're so far over the cap. So for the moment, they need each other. And I think that's going to result in an agreement.
Really quickly, I thought there was a nice scene last night for the NBA draft. I think overall the NBA year was really great. I love the teams that were in the finals. I thought it was a fun old school finals. But I think that the NBA draft should move around like the NFL does. The NFL has done such a great job of making it such a fan weekend. It's a really good time. It's in different cities. So I actually have the suggestion of them doing an NBA draft in Seattle. Seattle's an unbelievable NBA city, an unbelievable basketball city. Obviously, they have the Storm. But what do you think about that? I think they should have the NBA draft in Seattle next year.
Well, they used to take it on the road back in the day. And then I think everyone with the league got very fatigued by it because it's right after the finals that they have the draft. And they're just like, oh, man, we got to do this again. Right now we got. So, I mean, I would love to see them take it on the road to different places. I think it would be great for them. I think Toronto would be a great place for them to do the draft. Las Vegas, obviously, right? But yeah, have them moving around. You know where they should do the draft actually is at the University of Kentucky or at Duke, right? That's where all the players are coming from anyway.
I think UNC fans would push back on that, but that is a good suggestion. Thank you so
much. We'll call it Raleigh Durham. How about that?
Yeah, exactly. We'll move it around. Thank you so much for joining us, John. Really appreciate you making time.
Thanks for having me on the show.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists, like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Bissell Pluma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Hi, let's talk about Pro Plan Sport. Pro Plan Sport is advanced nutrition made to fuel strength and stamina in active dogs like yours. So wherever your next journey together takes you, start it off right with the high-performance fuel your dog needs to keep pushing you every step of the way. Pro Plan Sport. Learn more at ProPlanSport.com.